Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Everybody, welcome back to the Sixer Sense podcast. I'm your host Lucas with Chris. Chris, preseason has officially begun. How are you feeling about it, man?
I'm feeling pretty good. Basketball is back. We got some Sixers action to talk about here, Lucas. So yeah, I mean, what's not to love? We all like basketball, I assume, if you're listening to this podcast. If you don't, we welcome you anyways, though we might be a little confused. But yeah, let's jump in. Let's just talk about the Sixers' first preseason game here, Lucas. They played the New Zealand Breakers of Australia's NBL. Not exactly top-notch competition by NBA standards.
Hey, well, hold up. There's a former Sixer on that roster. You gotta give Jonah Bolden some love.
I was gonna get there. I don't know if love is the word I would describe as what he needs, but he was there. I used to love Jonah Bolden. I'll give him love. Yeah, best Australian to ever play on the Sixers. no further comment.
Wow. Shots fired. We'll be talking about him later, too.
That's good. Okay. They won 139-84, Lucas. Pretty decent margin of victory. I wouldn't say this was like maybe the best environment to glean a lot of information about this team because they were kind of just getting whatever they wanted all the time. No, win's a win. It's nice to see the Sixers just, like, stomp a bad team. We've seen closer games between, like, NBL teams and NBA teams in the past, so it's, like, a good win. No Paul George, no Joel Embiid. Kind of what we would expect in the preseason. No reason to rush those guys out there, Lucas. But Tyrese played 12 minutes. Caleb Martin, Eric Gordon. We got our first look at a lot of the new guys. Who stood out to you in this game? Let's start with something good.
Well, the good is that Tyrese Maxey's offense just flowed so easily. It was effortless for him to score. He had 15 points in 12 minutes, shot 5 of 7 from the field, 4 of 5 from the three-point line, had 3 assists, plus 21 for the game. He was fantastic. He was he clearly was the leader on that team. And of course, I got to talk about the big fella, Andre Drummond, making a corner three. Could it be something to see in the future? Probably not, but it's fun if it did, right?
Yeah, it's never going to happen again.
Yeah, but I'm going to save the other guy here. I'm pretty sure who you're going to say, but go ahead and say him.
Yeah, Yabusele, obviously 17 minutes off the bench, went 6 of 6, 15 points, a couple of assists. It's what we like to see. There are a lot of lines like that in this game. Ricky Council, I believe, was 5 for 5. Another one of my guys, he had 13 points and 6 rebounds. Like, it was very easy for the Sixers offensively. So, again, I don't think we should, like, get too excited based on a game against the New Zealand Breakers. But a lot went well. Things looked really smooth, again, probably because of the competition. But a lot of positives, and that's what we like on this podcast. We are not negative at all, ever. Don't fact check that. And we love talking about the good things that this Sixers team does. So there's plenty of that in this game, Lucas. I mean, just about everybody except the garbage time unit was plus double digits. They pretty much dominated all the way through. So yeah, I mean, Jared McCain got his shots up. A lot of stuff to like. What was something bad in your opinion, though, Lucas, if there was one?
I mean, it's really hard to think of a bad result of a game when you won 139-84. So, you know, it might be nitpicking here, you know, or Eric Gordon only played 7 minutes, wasn't really super effective. Would have loved to see a little bit more. Would have loved to see a little bit more offense from, you know, Caleb Martin as well. But, you know, this is me being nitpicky here. I'm not, I don't, in the grand scheme of things, is this really going to make a big difference? Probably not. While his overall field goal percentage was bad, I mean, even a guy like Jared McCain still had 15 points. What was it? 7 rebounds and 3 assists. 7 rebounds for a guy that's 6'3". That's actually positive. Like I said, it's really hard to find a negative here. If you, maybe, you know, is Justin Edwards? Justin Edwards. Yeah, Justin Edwards. He could be a negative. 2 of 7, 0 of 4 from deep. You know, you kind of hope for more for a guy that's going to be on a two-way. I don't know. Do you have any negatives?
Yeah, no, like you said, it's like it's one game, again, against a very bad opponent. Like, shooting is going to be kind of random game to game for a lot of players. It's hard to take something away from just one game, especially when it's not an NBA team. But, like, this is the perfect environment for Jared McCain to just get a bunch of shots up, get the nerves out. Like you said, rebounding, defense, passing, these are things he's going to really surprise people with. So he's going to contribute beyond the shooting, which is his primary skill, which I think is going to be part of why he gets a lot of minutes here eventually. We're going to rank the Sixers today, guys, just heads up, kind of skipping ahead here. But I think McCain will be maybe higher than people expect, at least for me. So, not a lot of negatives. They won by 55 points. Hard to complain. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, you know, Justin Edwards went 2 of 7, because there's no point in doing that. He could turn around and just make his 4 threes next game, and then we're having a different conversation. So, yeah, I mean, pretty thorough win, I would say. Lucas, do you have a player of the game, though? Let's, like, try to pinpoint down one guy who overperformed.
I mean, overperformed or just performed?
Or performed up to expectations, however you want to define it. Someone who performed
who
the best.
Impressed me.
Yes.
If I'll go with Jared McCain and his 7 rebounds. You know, you don't really expect a guy 6'3 to do that, so I'll give it to him.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Yabu. I got to stick to the brand that I'm making for myself here.
Fair enough.
Again, 6 for 6. Love to see it. So let's go on to the next thing, Lucas, which I kind of just gave away.
Yeah, we're going to rank the Sixers here, and I'm actually just touching up my rankings here in a second. I do apologize.
That's okay. I love ranking things. There's nothing that means less, but it's
but
so
means
fun.
More.
Yeah, that's right. It
means
less,
everything,
but it also
means nothing.
Completely, yeah, it's completely useless, but it's a lot of fun. We're going to have some good debates, I'm sure. We're going to go, I think, Lucas, in increments of 4.
Yep.
Until and we get to the top 5. Yep. Because there are 17 players on the roster right now.
Mm-hmm.
We both love math. So that's the math we did. I guess, am I going first? Shall I?
Yes, sir. You're going to go first. You're going to go 17 through 15.
14.
Sorry.
Look, math is hard. I get it.
Math is hard.
Counting is a real, you know,
My brain kind of shuts down after work. It doesn't really, yeah. But anyway.
Fair. Whose doesn't? Okay, 17. Number 17, I have the rookie Justin Edwards out of Kentucky. Number 16, I have just Jeff Downton, your favorite player.
Yeah.
15, I have Lester Quinones. And 14, I have Reggie Jackson.
So we have all the same players, just the order slightly mixed up. I have Downton last. I don't think Downton's an NBA player. And I want to give Edwards the benefit of the doubt. He's more of a prototype. But also, I just really just don't like Downton. No offense, Downton.
I still don't fully understand what he's done to you.
There is nothing that he's done. That's the problem. He's done nothing.
Okay, so it's just blind hatred based
Sure. I mean, you've had that before.
No, I haven't. I've always had totally justifiable reasons for my negative feelings.
Yeah, so I have Dalton, Edwards, Lester, Reggie. I think Reggie's probably the worst, like, guaranteed player on the team right now.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah. Neither of us like that signing.
No.
All right, 13 through 10 now, Lucas. Number 13, I have Adem Bona, the rookie out of UCLA. Number 12, I have KJ Martin. Number 11, I have Eric Gordon. And number 10, I have Ricky Council, the fourth.
So So before we started, I had Jared McCain actually at 11, but I decided to my love for McCain is too much. I can't have him outside of the top 10. So I actually have the same list. 13 Bona, 12 KJ, 11 Eric Gordon, 10 Ricky Council. I don't think there's much debate here. These guys may or may not see minutes if injuries happen. Yeah. But they probably should not be in the main rotation. Maybe Ricky can, but like, you know, that's the last guy in the main rotation, maybe.
Yeah, I have a hunch that Eric will be in the main rotation.
I do too. At least to begin the season.
Yeah, I'd like optimistically predict that Ricky Council ends the season in the main rotation. Okay, 9 9 through 6. Lucas, at number 9, I have Gershon Yabusele.
Wow! Okay, you guys should know that Chris teased me before we came on saying, oh, I'm going to have him at 4. I knew he wasn't going to have him at 4, but all the way at 9. That's okay, okay.
I feel like that's like where he should be.
Okay.
Until he proves me wrong, but like I feel like the top 8 I'm pretty comfortable with.
Okay.
At 8, I have Jared McCain. At 7, I have Andre Drummond. And at 6, I have Kyle Lowry.
Okay, no. We have all the same players here, but the order is just not the same here. Look, I have Jared McCain 9. He could be much higher by the end of the season. Kyle Lowry, I have an 8. Honestly, I don't feel great about it, but veteran leadership, you know, and the ability to set up the offense is important. I have Yabu at 7. I just feel like he's going to be a bigger part of the Sixers rotation than we can expect, and he could very easily get into the top 5. And then number 6, I have Drummond. Because, you know, it was very hard for me not to have Drummond in the top 5, honestly. But
I know it was.
But I'm trying to be objective here, because dang it, I'm objective, if nothing else.
Sure, Lucas. Yeah, look, you're like Kyle Lowry disrespect angle, I don't quite understand.
It's not being an 8th on a roster when you are 39 years old is not disrespect.
This guy was like straight up their third best player in the playoffs most of the time.
Is that a good thing though? Was that a good thing?
I don't know if it's a good thing, but it's a fact.
Yeah, that's not a good thing if you're relying on a 38-year-old Kyle Lowry.
This guy's an all-star. I choose to believe.
You can believe all you want, but you're wrong.
I very, very nearly put him higher.
I bet you did.
Okay. Top 5, Lucas. This is the good stuff. I think we're going to have the same top 3. Let's see if we have the same 4 and 5, though. At number 5, I have Kelly Oubre Jr. Number 4, I have Caleb Martin. Number 3, I have Paul George. Number 2, I have Tyrese Maxey. And at number 1, I think, as everybody would expect, I have Joel Embiid.
So we actually do agree on this one. We do agree on this one. Look, I think Kelly Oubre is the 5th best player on the team. Does he have more offensive skill than Caleb Martin? Probably in a vacuum, yes. But Caleb Martin's a better fit on the team, and he can do more defensively. Let's just be real about it, okay? Caleb Martin, solid number 4. It is what it is. Maybe not playing the 4 position, but at least being the 4th best player on the team, sure. You can live with that. Paul George being 3, just at this stage in his career, probably the right role for him. Tyrese Maxey being 2. That seems about right. I think that he's pushing closer to the 1 than we probably realize, but that's okay. I mean, like, Joel's great. And I'm not trying to say that Joel's not great, but I think Maxey can be almost as great. So keep that in mind. And then Joel being number 1, I mean, why not? Until proven otherwise, right?
Yeah, Joel would be number 1 on 29 of 30 teams pretty easily. I mean, maybe like Dallas fans would quibble with how easy, quote-unquote, it is, or Milwaukee fans, but he's the second best player in the world. Any guys, Lucas, that you see changing in a significant way over the course of the season, anyone who you think is going to fall, who you don't feel good about right now, anyone who you think is going to rise up in a big way?
I think we both kind of look at guys like Ricky Council and Jared McCain and Yabu saying, okay, these guys can be risers, right? These guys can be real risers. they're young, they're athletic. There's a role for them on this team if they can prove themselves worthy of it. You know, high end for Jared McCain, he might be the fifth starter by the end of the season. High end potential, right? Yabu might take over another starting spot. Our starting rotation at the beginning of the year might be Kelly Oubre, Martin, Joel, and who am I missing here? Paul George. The end of the year, it might be Maxey, McCain, George, Yabu, and Joel. And that's not to say that Kelly Oubre and Caleb Martin aren't good players. I think they are. But I think these guys could just raise the level so much more. I don't see them as droppers, or at least not dropping because of their skill. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, look, I really like McCain. We do have to, of course, like, be careful with putting too much
expectations. Yes, of course.
Yeah, he's a rookie. He's going to go through his slumps. So there is a chance, I think, that he does fall. It's not out of the question, but
of course,
you know, as far as teenage 6'3 guards go, I'm pretty confident that he's going to be able to stick in the rotation here pretty soon. Yeah, I mean, Ricky, like, I put him at 10 because you kind of have to at this point, but I'm really, like, bullish on Ricky. I could totally see a world where he's just kind of better than Kelly Oubre at a certain point in the season, or if not this season, very soon. So, he needs to figure out some of the defensive stuff, maybe hit more threes. Nurse has talked about it as something that they're working on, but his, like, athleticism and ability to get to the rim is pretty special. So I could totally see a world where Ricky is, like, the biggest riser out of this group and is starting by the end of the season. I don't know if I would predict that to happen, but I think it's a totally, like, feasible timeline. So yeah, I'd really, like, put stress on Ricky as someone who could rise pretty substantially before the season ends.
Yeah, and I think I've already hinted to it before some of my people that could drop Eric Gordon, Kyle Lowry, and that's just due to age at this point. You know, I think that, you know, Father Time is undefeated except against LeBron James, but everybody else in the NBA is going to get beat by him. So, mm-hmm. Look, I think Kyle Lowry could drop a little bit. I think Eric Gordon could definitely be like the end of a bench guy before too long if he doesn't shoot well, because it's not like he's bringing a ton defensively at this point. So, like, yeah, I think those, and just a dark horse, like KJ Martin could be a riser. Probably not, but, like, there's an off chance here. So, yeah, that's just my thoughts there.
Yeah, I think there's been some pretty positive buzz around KJ in camp. And, yeah, as far as the vets go, like, as much as I hate to admit it, your Kyle could definitely drop off. It's tough to be an old 6 foot nothing guard in the NBA. And yeah, I really, like, think Eric Gordon, we've already kind of dropped him, like, 11th for a guy who's probably going to be in the rotation. It's already kind of low, maybe, but I'm pretty worried about how functional he is at anything other than shooting, which is valuable in and of itself, especially next to Joel Embiid and on this team. But I'm a little skeptical of Eric Gordon being, like, a guy they can really lean on this season. Hopefully I'm proven wrong, because if he, like, hits, it'd be really great, because that skill set is something the Sixers need next to Joel. It's a great skill set for this team. It's obviously someone that Daryl Morey has been very familiar with over the course of his career. So hopefully I'm wrong, but I do think Eric Gordon specifically has a real chance, because Kyle does so many things well mentally that I think he's going to find ways to contribute. I don't know if Eric Gordon has that same kind of utility beyond the skill stuff. So we'll see. But yeah, I think Gordon and Lowry are obviously on drop-off watch here.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Yeah, and on that note, let's go ahead and switch to the around the NBA, right, Chris?
Yeah, let's go around the league, Lucas.
It's kind of disappointing that we didn't disagree more on the rankings, to be honest.
I know. You're supposed to have, like, crazy outlandish ones yell at
you. I'm supposed to have a crazy Okay.
We need Uriah here to put, like, Thybul in the top four.
Well, so, Thybul is probably not even in the top 10 on his own roster right now.
That's a deep cut for the longtime listeners.
Yes.
Some of you are going to be like, who is Uriah? And we challenge you to find out.
We should ask him to come on after the first game, like after, you know, our next episode, after the first, once the season begins. I feel like that.
Yeah, I'm down. Okay, so if you're not subscribed to the whiteboard on fansided.com, you should do that. I'm doing once a week. I'm writing the column this year. It's like an email newsletter. You can get it sent straight to your email. It's super easy to sign up. Just go to fansided.com, find an NBA article, and you'll find the link in there somewhere. Or just look up the whiteboard. Anyways, I wrote this week about Zach Edey. And at the end of it, I kind of gave my top five rookie of the year predictions. So I'll spell them out, Lucas. You can give your five, or you can just react to mine, or do whatever you want. But
I'm just going to react to yours. I haven't had much time to think of it. This rookie class isn't that impressive. Sorry.
It's not, but that's why it's fun. I have Zach Edey at number one. I think he's the front runner.
I agree.
I have Reed Sheppard as a pretty close number two. It really is going to depend on how many minutes he can carve out, but I think he's really good already.
The mustache is on point.
The mustache is like a real nice touch. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be better than Jalen Green soon.
So in your opinion, is he an NBA 1 or an NBA 2?
I think they'd like him to be a 1. He looked pretty good at the 1 in Summer League. But even if he has to play next to another guard, like they have Amen Thompson, who's 6'7", and can handle the ball really well. So I think they'll be fine. I think Houston is like a great fit for him.
Yeah.
So if he gets minutes, I just feel like he's the kind of player who's going to get minutes. He's going to be too good not to get minutes. I really think Reed could win this, and we might look silly for not saying him straight up. But so I think him and Edey are kind of in their own tier for me right now, as far as who I'd have one and two.
Fair enough. I don't hate it.
Yeah. I had three and four. I had Alex Saar and Zachary Richache, two and one.
Ew.
I don't really like those guys as the first two picks in the draft. I wasn't as high on them, especially Richache. I just did not buy him.
I think he's a role player. He kind of reminds me of Timothy Luau Khabarov. That's a deep cut for those Sixers fans. Tell me that there isn't some similarities between him and TLC.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have picked him in the top 10 even. But like he's going to start for the Hawks, and he's going to be treated as a number one pick. Kind of the same with Saar. He's just going to play a bunch of minutes and get a lot of shots up for the Wizards, so you kind of have to have him.
I don't know how Saar is going to work, because he's a center. Let's be clear. He is a center.
I don't know.
He's a center in today's NBA, but like you're going to play him next to Jonas Valanciunas. The spacing is going to be funky. You're going to be without Malcolm Brogdon, so you're going to have even worse spacing.
I think putting him next to Valanciunas is actually really smart. Well,
it protects him defensively, but offensively, it really stunts him.
Look, their offense is going to suck. It's like, just in terms of volume, I think he's going to have the numbers. So that's why he's there again. I agree that
I do like Saar. I just don't like him this year.
He's a cool prospect, and like the defense, his like
defense, I think,
ability,
is already there. I think the defense is there already. I just think the offense.
I don't know if it's like all there, but like
it's mostly there.
Nobody is his size and can move that way. He's kind of singular in that way. So he's going to do some amazing things on that end.
Him and Victor might be the next two like great defensive bigs in the next generation of players.
Yeah, well, and Chet.
Yeah, we'll see.
Chet is already a great defender. Don't even start. Okay. Okay, anyways, at five I had Rob Dillingham of Minnesota. I think it's like a little complicated now with the DiVincenzo trade.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, dude.
I don't know. The thing is, they gave a lot to go up and get him at number eight. I think he's going to still get backup point guard minutes. He's going to put up a ton of shots because that's just what he does. And he's a really good player. Like he's an incredible offensive talent. He does a lot of good things really well. He's extremely confident. He's going to put up points, which is what a lot of voters kind of go to. They're like, who scored the most points? Well, Rob Dillingham averaged like 12 off the bench. We should vote for him. That kind of thing's going to happen, I think. So
I think for him, like, they need to slow the buck down and just let him slowly develop. I wouldn't like rush him out, because I could totally see him like picking up bad habits and then just ruining his potential.
I don't know. I think Minnesota is in a good spot to where he's not going to have to be the guy. They've already have like a good established contender. He's not going to be like chucking shots in Washington. So I think it's a good spot for him. And part of that, too, is they're going to win games. So if he's playing real minutes for like a top four seed in the West, that would be a feather in his cap. The guy I left off, who I feel kind of iffy about just because of how well he's performed all summer, is Khalil Ware in Miami. He's going to get minutes, so maybe I'll look a little silly. He's definitely number six right now, and I'm definitely like highlighting him as someone who could be in that mix.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I like him. I think there's a chance by the end of the season he's starting and Bam's at the four, which I think is actually really smart by Miami, because Bam's starting to shoot threes now. See, instead of Dillingham, there are two other options that I would like to throw out there. Bud Carrington, I think he's very underrated, could be like that sleeper in the draft. I like Bud Carrington, right? And then I also like, now this might just be purely due to, the ability to get the ball, because there's not that many people on this team that can score, create their own shots, is the guy that that Detroit picked. What was his name? I can't remember it.
Ron Holland. So
Ron Holland, yeah.
I was going to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I had Holland number one on my draft board. He was like my top prospect. I'm really like bullish on Ron Holland. I think Detroit is like
the worst place
he could have ended up.
Right. Because they have no shooting.
They have no shooting. It was a bad fit. I really respect the pick. I think picking talent over fit when you're in Detroit's position is the way to go. But I have a feeling it'll maybe be rough sledding a little bit here at the beginning. I don't think he's 100% like a polished product yet. So I don't know if he's going to win Rookie of the Year, but I do really like Ron Holland. He put up pretty impressive numbers on a really bad G League team that did not cater to his skill set at all. So that maybe is like proof that he could do something in Detroit. Like, he's a real, real special talent on both sides of the ball. So
is he the number two option already? Is he the number two option in Detroit?
I mean, like,
are you sure? Because Thompson, I mean, in here, I thought you lost your sense of humor.
Objectively, Tobias is going to be the number two scorer on that team,
at least to begin the season. But look, look, you look at their team, right? You have they have too many guards/wings, by the way, right now. You got Cade Cunningham, you have Jaden Ivey, you have Thompson, now you have this rookie, you have Tobias, you have two centers and Durin and Stewart, by the way, I suspect is going to get traded. I've been feeling the buzz on him lately. Ivy might be on the way out too. It seems like his fit just does not. I'm still high on Ivy, let's be clear. I just don't think his fit on that roster really works either. I think him and Cade are not a good mesh. But anyway, your thoughts on Detroit, just real quick. Where were they?
Yeah, no, I agree with most of what you're saying. Like, I think Jaden Ivey and maybe even Asar Thompson are going to take, like, precedence or priority over Holland just out of the gate, just based on seniority, if nothing else. I do think they're going to have to clean house eventually. Like, not all of these guys are going to last either through this season or next season. Like, at some point, they're going to have to pick and choose kind of which guys to really build around, because the fit, like you said, it's just not there. I really like Thompson. I frankly still like Ivy a fair amount. Like, I think those are good prospects. I just don't know if they can all, like you said, flourish in Detroit.
Yeah,
so.
No, they can't. There's just not, Thompson's a playmaking defensive wing. Ivy's a combo guard that's a high volume shooter. Cade does, playmaking big wing. And then you have Holland, who's a score first wing, and it's just not a good mix. I mean, can Holland even play the four? Just out of curiosity, can he play the four?
I wouldn't like count on it.
He's 6'8", though, right?
In the NBA, yes, you can have like four wings out there, and
he's a big man. How tall is he? Like six?
He's like 6'6", 6'7".
Okay, so
he's
not like a
traditional power forward.
But technically, you could play Thompson at the four. He's 6'7", and he's kind of a non-shooter anyway.
So, there's
a way to have all four of them out on the court at the same time. But like you said, it just doesn't seem to make sense spacing wise on paper. None of them, besides Cade, is even a competent 3-point shooter. I mean, Ivy's kind of good at 3-point shooting, but he's like off the dribble type of 3-point shooter, not spot up.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not like a positional issue, it's a spacing issue. They just need to, at least two of them need to learn how to shoot, or they're going to be...
I'm sure Holland's probably doing that, and I'm sure Thompson worked on his too.
I'm least confident of that group in Asar's shooting, but like Asar's probably the best at everything else. So it'll be an interesting balance. JB Bickerstaff is a really good coach.
Good at player development,
for the most part. They have actual shooters on the roster. They have vets, like, which is a good thing when you're trying to develop young talent.
Beasley, Stewart, Tobias. Who else is a shooter?
Fontecchio, who's really good. I like him a lot. Should have been a Sixer. They'll be interesting. Let's talk about your thing. Yeah, I don't know why you're bringing this guy up again. Why are we talking about him, Lucas?
Because why not? Because it's the preseason and why not?
Why not? Because it's fun
to watch a dumpster fire, and you know this as well as I do. You like to see things burn, and that's exactly what's going on in Brooklyn right now. So they played against the Clippers last night, right? And here's the crazy thing. So the Nets played against the Clippers. So their starting five for that game, the Nets, was Dennis Schroeder, Ben Simmons, Cam Thompson, Cam Johnson, and Dorian Finney-Smith. You know what that means? That's Ben Simmons at center / point guard. I don't know. They're co-point guarding, and I don't know if I like that or not. Ben Simmons was aggressive, though, in the game. Took 5 shots in only 13 minutes, so he's trying at least.
He's trying.
Not doing well. He missed all but one, but you know.
Yeah, look, he's shooting, not making, is the distinction there.
And it should be noted that, Nicholas Claxton did not play in that game. And they lost to the Clippers, who were without James Harden. And not James Harden, without Kawhi Leonard. So, yeah, look. Shout out to, what is this kid's name? He's a rookie, I think. Jordan Miller having 13 points in the game for the Clippers. But, yeah, no. At the end of the day, look, it's... The Clippers, are the Nets the second worst team in the East? Because obviously the first goes to Detroit always. But are the Nets the second worst?
Yeah. I mean, there's totally a world in which they're the worst. Like, especially if they trade Cam Johnson and Dorian Finney-Smith. Like, once they start trading a few of these, remaining vets, they could very easily be in the running for worst.
Because you got, Zaire Williams. You got, what is his name? Jalen Wilson, Noah Clowney, Shake Milton off the bench. You could always go with Shake Milton again. Shake and Ben are teammates again. Chris, isn't that so exciting?
Yeah, I remember when we were like, man, Shake could really unlock Ben if... I remember that period.
Yeah, I remember those conversations. Those were... What a time to be a Sixer fan. What a time. But outside of that, just want to mention real quick, Shams officially coming to ESPN. Any thoughts on that after Adrian Wojnarowski retired?
Not really. It seems like kind of the boring expected thing. Shams, it's kind of a known commodity at this point. He's going to get a lot of scoops. We're going to feel kind of weird about how he's controlling, quitting about gambling and also controlling the dispersal of information, but
I wonder how much him and Pat McAfee's relationship played a factor into him coming on the
I don't know if Pat McAfee is the gold standard at ESPN.
I mean, he might not be the gold standard, but he is the golden goose right now for ESPN.
He is who they are building their model around, and that's not ideal. If you ask me,
I mean, he's getting the younger generation, so it's something.
I know, they fired Zach Lowe, which sucks. And
I really hope that Zach Lowe finds a good place. I think he's going to go to Amazon.
Yeah,
he should.
I hope he lands somewhere good. Like, it's not a coincidence, right, that Lowe gets fired and they hire Shams. I'm sure Shams is making like a gazillion dollars to do this. You know, more power to him. But like, Zach Lowe's like, is the gold standard in this business, and like firing him,
especially in podcasting.
Yeah, to go with like a scoop breaker is not like how I would.
Well, draw I mean, it they up. Needed a there, scoop. But... They needed a scoop breaker, and until LeBron James retires, Brian Windhorst is safe.
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, it's all about money, and that's like, yeah. If only that weren't driving every decision for everything, it would be, we'd probably live in a better world, but.
You want to talk about another former Sixer, how James Harden gets to be James Harden again for the Clippers? Are you excited to see Harden ball?
I still think James is a pretty good player.
I mean, he's good, but he's not going to be averaging like 30 points a game or even 25.
Yeah, true.
Like, I think his max is like around like maybe 20. Like, that's maybe 22 if we're being really nice. Oh, by the way, we've got the sneak peek at the first Chicago Bulls lineup with Josh Giddey. I know you used to love him. Do you still love Josh Giddey, or are you over it?
No, I'm out.
You're out. Well, it is in Chicago. It is Kobe White, Zach LaVine, Josh Giddey, Pat Williams, and Nikola Vucevic. And it does not look like Lonzo Ball played in that first game. No. Who's that? That rookie that they drafted played good in that game, though. And then Mobley had 19 points for the Cleveland Cavaliers. He didn't make them, but he shot two threes. That's a win. I'll take that. Hey, yeah. You know, you got to take what you can get with Evan Mobley and shooting. That's the truth. Charlotte beat Miami. It is a preseason game, but I do have high hopes for Charlotte. I think they could be a sneaky good team, especially if Williams comes back healthy. Both Williams. Yeah, well, actually, I don't know if Grant Williams is unhealthy or not, but I'm hopeful there. And then Seth Curry could come back and be a bomb off the bench. I think Brandon Miller. I think he's going to have a breakout year too. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean,
he does remind me of Paul George a lot. Like, not even gonna lie.
Yeah, that was like kind of the big comp going into the draft. That's the guy that he kind of cited as someone he watched. I see where he's coming from. Like, a lot of really good rookies get better in year two. Seems like he's going to be a really good player. The real, like, swing factor with Charlotte is, can LaMelo play more than 20 games?
Like, yeah, that's true.
If they can get 70 games out of LaMelo, I think you're right. I think they could surprise some people. If you start again all year, they're going to be pretty bad again. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the swing factor here. I'm just pulling up some box scores real quick while we're chatting it up, just to see if there's anything worth talking about. And so far, Atlanta definitely has nothing good to talk about. Sashay didn't even start in this preseason game. He did shoot well, though. He had 18 points on 7 of 9 shooting, 3 of 4 from downtown. So, you know, maybe he can shoot. Who knows?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, he can shoot. That's one thing he can definitely do.
I mean, look, we'll see. We'll see. And then KD at age 36 had 21 points in 19 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. Good player.
Yeah, we'll see. And then, look, I mean, it's interesting. We'll see what happens here. And then, gosh, that was an ugly starting five for the... Hold up. Did Tobias Harris not play? Tobias Harris did not play in that preseason for the Pistons. Gosh, that is an ugly starting five. They had Fontecchio, Duren, Cunningham, Ivy, Beasley.
I don't know. Best they can do. They got two shooters, Cade, Ivy, and their big man. What more do you want?
I want them to actually... I don't know.
Fontecchio is good.
Fontecchio is like that fifth starter that a contender would want when he's like 5-7 years into his career, but he is not... Wait. They need right now.
He is what they need. They need a shooter. They need a guy who could just jack threes. That's exactly what he can do.
By the way, your Paul Reed got 9 minutes and 3 points in that game. 3 assists, 1 rebound, that's right. 1 steal, and 1 block. Four personal fouls in 9 minutes, though, Chris. Yeah. Ugh. All right. I scoff. Yeah, scoffing at Paul Reed is the perfect way to end this pod. Let's go.
Yeah. All right. So as always, everyone, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Sixer Sense podcast. Please like, subscribe, and follow along. We are on Twitter and Facebook at Sixer Sense. You can follow Lucas on Twitter at CoachJ_20. You can follow me at KleinNBA. And you can go to thesixersense.com to read all your Sixers content. Until next time, thank you for tuning in to another episode. We really appreciate y'all. Leave a 5-star review if you can. It would really help us out. Let us know what you want us to talk about in the comments. And we will talk to you soon.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.